Okay, this coming Shabbos is going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Yisro, and of course we'd be jump right into the Parsha with the first two words of the Parsha, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard, and Rashi famously asks the question, Ma Shmu Ashama Uba, what did Yisro hear that inspired him to come and join Moshe and Bnei Yisrael? So Rashi notes that he heard about the splitting of the Yamsuf and the war with Amalek. But why did that make him come? Why did that all of a sudden say, hey, get up and do something about your situation? So Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal explains that Yisro took a valuable lesson from these two specific examples. In both of these examples, Bnei Yisrael were held responsible to do their part, and Hashem, he would do his rest. If a person thinks he or she is not worthy of doing, and Hashem still thinks he or she is, and each of us needs to rise to the occasion and get up and do. And so hence Yisro did his part too. Uba! And so he came. And then we read later in the parasha, that in two psukim later, that he came with his two grandchildren, Moshe's two children. The first name, his name was Gershom. Now why is it so important to know the names of Moshe's children right now as Yisro was coming? So the late great Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva, the author of the Sam Derech Zatzal, explains that Moshe was teaching us that after experiencing great miracles, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, the war with Amalek, Moshe didn't forget the small miracles, that of the miracle of birth and the like. And this is the intent of the phrase we say daily in our davening, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, for the miracles that are with us every single day, Hatokilo Chalu Rechamecha, the good things, they never are finished from you. So anyway, Yisro comes, Moshe greets him, according to some Yisro is Megayer. In this situation, Yisro wakes up the next day and he sees Moshe Rabbeinu standing with the people and he sees that he's experiencing burnout. And so he expresses to Moshe the need to hire some assistants, including Anshei Chayil Yirei Emes, Anshei Chayil Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, and Sonei Batza, people who hate bribes. Now, if the people can't take bribes, which is a halachic matter, why is it important that they also hate bribes? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damo Zatzal, explains that if a person merely likes money, even if he stays away from money, then the person will become swayed and his judgment becomes tainted. And thus hating bribes allows the mind to focus on that which is important, namely the idea and concept of justice. Hence he was requested to find people who were sonei batzah. After the episode of Yisro, we are told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides he wants to create a situation of Matan Torah. And he turns to Bnei Yisrael and he has Moshe ask them, Yisem li segula mikol ha'amim. He wants Bnei Yisrael to be special to me. And segulos are often used as a means of healing. But what's the difference between a segula and a refuah? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that a refuah can be explained medically or biochemically. A segula cannot be explained by the normal course of known science. Rav Meilech Biderman Shlita adds that this is the intent of the pasuk here as well. Hashem will love and cherish us even when it doesn't make sense. And even if we see Hashem doesn't merely depart us, no, he adds that segula, says Rav Meilech, comes from the word segel, or the value of the vowel segol. And just as whatever position you rotate the segol, it remains segol. Hashem promises that no matter whether we're on the top or are on the up and up or are falling, we too will always be precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We will always be in that same position, something unique to this vowel and this process of expression. Then we're told that Bnei Yisrael received the Torah, and the first of the Divros becomes Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem. And the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah by itself, and the Ramban as well. But in the Rambam's commentary on Sefer HaMitzvos, he notes that the Behag does not include this in his commentary as one of the 613 mitzvos. And the Ramban explains that that's because the Behag sees Anochi Hashem as an introduction to all the other mitzvos. After all, if you don't believe in Hashem, then you can't do all of his laws, and there would be no point. So why should it be its own mitzvah, its own uniqueness? So Rav Shachter Shalita would point out to us the name of the late great Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zatzal Hashem Yimkom Damav, that there are certain things that are in the forefront of our minds, and others that are not as easily accessible. The mitzvah of Anochi Hashem is to have this idea in the forefront of our mind, the understanding that it should be the first thing that we think as well. Rav Shachter would often add to us that this is the meaning of Vayaminu Bashem Uba Moshe Avdo. That in the same way you see Moshe in front of you and you believe in him all the time, that's the way we're supposed to believe in Hashem. And then we read all of the Aseres Adibros, including the last one of Lo Sachmod, where we're told, Vavado, Vamaso, Vishoro, Vachamoro, Vechol, Asher L'Reecha, don't covet everything that belongs to your neighbor. Now the Gvilei Eish of Nevardek notes that when someone thinks of that which belongs to his neighbor, he thinks that perhaps he's entitled to something that belongs to him. And that's the violation of Lo Sachmod. However, the problem is that when you want something that belongs to your neighbor, you get Vechol Asher L'Reecha, everything, including the rest of his pekala that you might not want. And so the message, says the Gvilei Eish, is to stick with what's yours so that you don't lose that which is not shayach to you. After the story of the Aseres HaDibros, we also read about the idea of the concept of tznius. Velosale b'malos ha-mizbechi, we're told, don't ascend my mizbeach via steps. And Rashi explains that if you were to do so, you might come to demonstrate a belittling of the mizbeach, as the laws of tznius would be compromised. Yet one needs to wonder how a kohen or a kohen gadol ascending a mizbeach at the time of avoda would be behaving in a manner that could even appear to be belittling. So like your Mashgiach of YU, Rav Yaakov Moshe Lessons, that's how I'll explain, that even when we're totally focused on the mission of Hashem, we need to be careful not to let anything else disturb our mission. And at these moments, even the slightest change is to the ability to set us off on the wrong course. The bottom line is we have to make sure that the moments of greatest uplift are also the moments of potentially the greatest downfall. Our job is to be raised up in the process and not fall by the wayside. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read about the description from Yishayahu about the Maisa Merkava, and we're told Srafim Umdim Mimalo, that the Srafim were above him, and Rav Mordechai Breuer notes that there's a strong comparison between the Nevuah of Yishayahu here and that of Michio ben Yimla and Melachim Aleph Perek Chabez. In both prophecies, Hashem is described as sitting on a heavenly throne with his angels standing at the ready above to serve him. However, in the current Haftorah, Yishayahu is ultimately invited to join in with the angels in their service of Hashem. Rav Breuer adds that when one is capable of declaring and making Hashem sovereign over him, then he too is granted the opportunity to join in with the angels in praising and serving Hashem. And that's what happened to Yishayahu over here. He was given the opportunity, and he was ready to rise to the occasion in the process. We look constantly for the opportunities to rise to the occasion and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May he give us that opportunity as we too reach to the day where hopefully V'haya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz, and in that day we will be there together, locked arm in arm. Shabbat shalom to all.